the book of Deuteronomy, we're reminded that the Word of God is not something that is far away from us, but in fact very near. Already in your mouth and in your heart, you have only to carry it out. In many ways, I think that that word is closer to us than we know, that we perhaps realize. For example, again and again and again during Mass, we pray the Scriptures. Often, perhaps, we don't even recognize it. But a good example, in our second reading today, this lovely hymn that speaks about Jesus in the image of God. And it talks about thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Many of the prefaces that we use at Mass will speak of thrones and dominions, principalities and powers, that we give praise and thanks to God, along with these angels who are praising the glory of God and praising Christ, the Redeemer. And so when you hear that phrase, we're praying the Word of God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, we pray, in the Holy Holy. And it's an echo of what we just heard in that second reading, this hymn to Christ, who is above all things. In him were created all things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. That he through him to reconcile all things in himself. And so we gather here week after week to give glory and praise to God, to proclaim these words of the Scriptures that are spoken to us and echo them back to God as God's holy people. Which one of these, in your opinion, was neighbor? Well, the one who treated him with mercy. That word is very near to us today as well. Not at all far away. And I would say exhibit one for that is right here. Right here. This has been growing all weekend long. Between the masses today, there was a vehicle that was parked right over here. And I saw some people carrying out box springs and mattresses so they can store for later this week. Which one, what is neighbor, the one who acted with mercy? That is very visible here today, and it is very visible in all of you. And I suspect that there is more where this comes from, and there is more coming from you for people who are complete strangers to us. And yet our heart has already been moved with compassion, knowing that they are refugees, knowing that they are coming to a new land, coming with very little and trying to be able to make a home in a strange land among people they do not know. And we seek to welcome them. And so that word is very visible today through all of us. And I would say that this parable, this familiar parable of the Good Samaritan, is one that we know well. It's entered into our language. Somebody says Good Samaritan, we know what that means. But I think that the Word of God is also rich and in the end inexhaustible, which says to us that as familiar as this story is, I think it's important for us to look at it anew and to think about it more deeply. It's a story, and so it's all made up. And I think that the response of treating with compassion, which is so clear in this story, also allows us to look at other questions and to think about things in a deeper way. So there was a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho who fell victims to robbers. And one wonders, was that a regular occurrence? Was that a place where the robbers frequented? Was he just a unique victim? What we would say is the wrong place at the wrong time? Or was that a dangerous spot? And did that happen to travelers again and again and again? We don't know. Jesus doesn't tell us in the story. But what that invites us to do is to think that the work of compassion is also the work of justice. And so, being concerned for the victim that was right there was certainly a right thing to do. But for the community, perhaps, there is a larger picture to say, how is it then that that man was vulnerable in that place? And what could be done so that another person traveling down from Jerusalem to Jericho might not fall into the victim to the robbers anymore? That is the work of justice. That is the work of protecting the innocent and the vulnerable. And that, in a sense, is harder work and longer work than what we hear in this story. But it is it not also a work of mercy? Is it also not the work of being a neighbor? When we look at our world, at our society, people are horrified. Horrified by the killings that happened this past week. Just this past week. And we think about Dallas, we think about Baton Rouge, we think about the suburb in St. Paul. Let's also think about 50 people, 50, shot over the 4th of July weekend in Chicago. We know about gun violence. We know about how many victims there are and how many of them are innocent people. As a society, as a community, is not being a neighbor not simply our sadness and our sorrow, our sense of outrage, our need for doing something, but the hard work, the slow work, that transforming the society, the culture, to move away from that kind of violence so that we do not have innocent victims at anybody's hands in our society, in our community. It's very easy to say, well, we have a gun culture in the United States. Why is it that it happens here? It does not happen in Europe. It does not happen in Switzerland, where at least for many years, I don't know presently, every household had a gun because every adult male was on call to ask militia for the military to defend Switzerland. That kind of violence doesn't happen there. It happens here all too often. And so it's not simply guns. There's more to it than that. That calls us as a community to that difficult and hard work of changing hearts and changing minds, changing culture, living a culture of being a neighbor for one another, and especially living the culture of being a neighbor to the alien, to the stranger. Let us not forget in this parable that that's who the Samaritan was. It wasn't a fellow countryman helping a fellow countryman who was in a bad way. It was the alien who himself was often despised and rejected by the Jewish community coming to the aid of a Jew who had fallen in among robbers. And so the story of who acted like a neighbor itself is a challenge to cross the boundaries that we are all too familiar with dividing our society and our culture. The story, I think, reminds us of the call that the early Christian community saw this story. They saw it not just as a story of who is a neighbor, but as a story of redemption and salvation. See, naturally, I think we're all taught to focus on the Samaritan. And in fact, this homily has been talking about the Samaritan and being like the Samaritan. That's the lens through who we see it. The early church said, let's not think about the Samaritan first. Let's think about the victim first. The man who fell in with robbers, who was stripped and beaten, robbed, and left for dead. Doesn't that sound like us? Doesn't that sound like the broken, suffering state of our world? Isn't, if we're honest, isn't it us who's lying there on the road and so helpless and suffering so much? It's not really all that hard a jump. And so the early church said, then who is it who comes to be a neighbor? Jesus. Jesus, the firstborn of all creation, who is before all things, the firstborn to come to be with us. And as another early Christian's hymn said, humbled himself, taking on our human nature to come to rescue us in our brokenness, in our suffering, in our pain. How does that transformation take place? The Lord coming to save us. That exactly is what Moses says to us. To heed the voice of the Lord our God, to return to the Lord with all our heart and all our soul, to allow the Lord to come to us and to heal our brokenness so that we can be the ministers of God's mercy, of God's compassion to the broken and suffering people in our community, in our world. As beautiful as this is, in some ways, this is very easy. It takes some effort. It has cost people some money. Some people have said, oh yes, I can't go shopping. I want to help. You know, can I write a check? And to you, I'm saying, don't worry, that's coming. But in a sense, it's easy. The harder work is the work of the healing that needs to take place in us. The hard work that needs to take place to engage with one another. The hard work is for a community and for a people to turn to the Lord, to embrace the Lord's way of forgiveness rather than retribution, reconciliation instead of continued alienation, justice instead of charitable handouts, establishing peace that is rooted in justice instead of problem solving, truly learning the first part of that gospel, to love the Lord, your God, with your whole heart, and your whole soul and your whole mind and your whole strength and your whole being to love your neighbor, not just to love your neighbor, but to love your neighbor as yourself.